KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my co-host Jim Bartko, who couldn't be with us today, but joining us in the studio is our producer, Kevin Kirsten. We've got some very special guests today, new Fresno State wrestling coach Troy Steiner and former Fresno State wrestling coach Dennis DeLito, sharing their excitement about getting the Bulldogs wrestling program back up and running. We've also got an interview with Cesar Guerrero to share, the Fresno State point guard who graduated with his philosophy degree this past Saturday. But first, we'll take you to our conversation with Troy Steiner about the new Fresno State wrestling program.
What's it feel like to land your first head coaching position at Fresno State in a wrestling-rich valley such as this, where it means so much to people in the community here?
Yeah, I'm honored. I'm honored that they put their trust in me to get this thing going. I know I've got a huge responsibility, you know, not only for this university and this valley, but I think for the whole sport in general, because it doesn't happen many times where you get Division I institutions bringing back the sport. So it's a big job. I look forward to that, this challenge.
As you know, the program has been out of commission for 10 years now. What were some of your concerns when President Castro and Athletic Director Jim Bartko approached you to take the head coaching job? Like, what were some of the concerns and some of the topics you might have discussed with them about the things that had to be put in place?
I know everyone talks about the budget and all that, but, you know, I think being out here on the West, you have to have that travel budget. That's, I feel, the biggest thing. You have to have the travel budget and then the recruiting budget, because you're going to have to travel back into the Midwest, back east, to see the competition, and they assured me that that was going to be here for me. You know, and you know, being fully funded with 9.9 scholarships is huge. So having all those things in place, then it's my job to create the environment. You know, so biggest issue coming down on that is what they were going to do with the budgets.
So what do you think some of the challenges and advantages could be of, like, starting the program back up essentially from scratch again, and you coming in and being able to tailor it the way you'd like it to go?
I guess the disadvantage would be that you don't have any examples in the room that you can point to, and that this is your lead, you know, this is the guys that you want to try to follow and jump on their coattail. But I think it's way more positives right now than there are negatives, because I get to put my hands on everything. I get a year to put the foundation down, to go out and get to know the people, get to know the recruits, and put a staff together. So I have time to do things right. I'm not rushed into anything. I see that as a positive. I know people here that have been waiting for this thing to come back for 10 years. One more year, baby. We'll be back. I feel a very positive thing that I can do it right, because if it's not done right this time, then it's going to be gone.
You know, obviously, the program's been here before. It's got an established tradition, but it's been 10 years. Yeah. Like Kevin said, what's priority number one for you?
Priority number one is, you know, building the relationships with the people here. You know, I need to put a staff together, but we need to get out as a staff and really build these relationships with the people in this community, this valley, this state, and really this whole West. And I have very good relationships with a lot of people out here for being out here 10 years. So it's not, I don't think it's going to be hard. There's definitely some coaches that I, and programs that I don't know much about in this area that are very strong, that I just haven't recruited any of their guys yet. But I think the biggest thing is getting out there. We got to get to know the people. Like I said before, you have to earn their respect. I don't want that given to me. I'll earn that.
Is being here in the Central Valley with, you know, a talent pool locally, is that an advantage to you?
Sure, it's an advantage. You know, because you got guys right here. Why, if you can provide the resources for them to go on and accomplish the goals that they have in the sport and academically, if they can get what they want here, why would they leave their support group? They haven't had it here in a long time. Or we got to develop the resources they need so they feel they have a chance to win here.
You've been in contact at all with any of the past Fresno State coaches or student athletes here?
You know, the Zinkin family, I've talked to them a lot. You know, being on the selection committee, I've had good conversations with them. Coach DeLito, you know, is front and center in his fight to bring this thing back. You know, like I said, we got to have the same fight in our athletes that he's had the last 10 years, and the perseverance to not let go. And, you know, I've had some opportunity to meet some of these people, but, you know, once I get settled down here in another 6 weeks or so, and then we'll really dig into the community and get to know everyone.
Once upon a time, you had a storied career yourself as a wrestler at Iowa. What did you know about Fresno State back then, back when you were competing?
Yeah, not too much. You know, I knew they had guys. You know, the Zinkins were a little bit younger than me, but as an athlete, I was so focused on what I was doing and what I needed to do. I never really worried too much about the competition. If I wasn't doing what I needed to do as an athlete, it wasn't going to matter who I was against. So I'm not one to look too much at the competition. Just like in this position, they said there were like 28 candidates and all that. I didn't care. I didn't know who they were. It just didn't matter to me. Either they're going to want me for who I am and I'm going to want the job or not. You know, you got to focus on what you can do, and I can do what I can do. That's it.
So what attracted you to the job?
I think the ability for me to put my hands on every aspect of it. You know, just very unique thing. I don't have to come in and change a culture. I can create the culture from the start. And not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's a unique opportunity.
How do you define that culture? Have you planned that far ahead yet? Or do you have, you know, a sort of mentality that you want?
It's the mentality that I'm looking to bring and looking to get into these guys and looking to recruit. You know, there's kids out here that have it. I just got to go find it, you know, and then help them and guide them to get them to the top.
I just have one more question. How important do you think it is to get out in the community and let the parents of the kids that are coming up in junior high and high school and let them know how well they're going to be taken care of here, like on and off the mat, and help them develop professionally and concentrate on their academic career as well? How important do you feel that is to develop a student athlete as a whole?
I think it's huge. I mean, if I'm looking to send my son somewhere, you know, my son's 13 right now, and if he's looking to go somewhere, and I'm looking at a coaching staff or a program, I don't want a program that's just going to develop wrestlers. You know, I mean, obviously that's part of it, but if all I do as a wrestling coach is create champions on the mat and guys go out in life and they're doing bad things or not contributing to society, I failed miserably. You know, I want guys that are going to be leaders and are going to be out there in society and being productive and helping out and giving back and all that. That's as big a job or more so of the job than it is the wrestling. You know, wrestling is just an avenue we can use to get that done.
That was new Fresno State wrestling coach Troy Steiner. And now we'll bring you our conversation with longtime former wrestling coach Dennis DeLito.
So how do you feel with Coach Steiner taking the reins and starting the program back up again?
Oh, I think we're in good hands. I mean, he'll do a first-class job. He's a first-class guy, so couldn't be happier with their choice.
I liked how he said he likes all the students to keep themselves accountable on and off the mat, you know, and I feel that's an important part of developing yourself as like an athlete overall and a person in the community. He said academically they should be on top as well as on the mat.
Most of his guys will be eligible, I think, the way he talks. They'll be getting their grades and being a good wrestler.
Yeah, he seems to have a lot of grit, right?
Yeah, no question.
You know, last time I talked to you, I think, was back in 2006, yeah, when it was worse news. Yeah. How are you feeling today?
Well, you know, this couldn't happen without Castro. Castro's probably one of the most first-class guys I've ever met, and he just happened to hire a coach. It looks like he's about like Castro first-class, so it's a good combo, real good combo.
What do you think? I mean, obviously, you built this program up to a certain level. What do you think it's going to take to get back to that?
It'll take him a while, but, you know, I think the kids here, there's more good kids now in the area, you know, and more Division I kids, and I think, you know, he wrestled for Iowa. Kids, Iowa guy, you know, they go goo-goo-eyed over that, and he's got a good resume. He could be a lousy coach, and he's still going to get kids, you know, but obviously he's not going to be a lousy coach, but I'm just saying he's got a good resume, and I think the kid's a really good person, so I think it's going to work out real well.
Have you talked to any of your former student-athletes here? Are they excited about this? What's the feeling around the alumni?
My ex-wrestlers are ecstatic. There are a lot of Steven Abbas was here. You know, he's excited, too. You know, yeah, it's an exciting time for wrestling, period, because this doesn't happen that often. Castro made a bold move, and he'll be proud of his move.
Is the Valley talent in the high schools coming up through the ranks? Are the young wrestlers here a bigger pool of talent now than there was even when you were here?
Yeah, I think there's more D1 kids now. I know the junior class, well, they'll be seniors next year. There's two good kids at Dinuba. There's a good kid at Lamore. I mean, these are state place winners, you know, so, yeah, and Clovis is always going to have some good guys. Yeah, I think there's a little deeper pool than there used to be.
What would you say to the community about just supporting the program?
You know, don't get complacent. Show up and watch these guys. This sport deserves your attention, you know. Let's get 4,500 people to the first duel. What's wrong with that? Iowa got 42,000 against Oklahoma State. They put it in the football stadium. Yeah.
Thanks, Coach.
That was former Fresno State wrestling coach Dennis DeLito. He touched on the importance of graduating student athletes, and since we're just coming off graduation season here at Fresno State, we again want to bring you an interview with Cesar Guerrero, one of the stars of the men's basketball team, now a former Fresno State Bulldog men's basketball player who just earned his degree in philosophy, and he had a lot to say about the excitement and what that means to his family.
Fresno State, what brought you here in the first place?
You know, at first it was Coach Schwartz and Coach Rodney Terry, and they brought me here to be the floor general and brought me here to, you know, mature and be a better person in my life. You know, that's what I came here to do, and I feel like I'm accomplished that with the 4 years I've been here.
Obviously, you're at Oklahoma State your first year. What made you want to leave? Did I hear that you wanted to be closer to home?
Well, yeah, that was the initial thing, to come home and be closer to my mom. You know, I got the privilege of doing that through her tough times. Still to this moment, I mean, she's still supporting me and still always there for me. You know, it's something that's always been very challenging, to not have my mom close, but she's not too far. I don't have to be running home every weekend, you know, so it's something great.
Where does your mom live at now?
She lives in Huntington Park, California. I would say 2 miles away from East Los Angeles.
Okay.
Southeast of Los Angeles. You know, it's like, I would say, a Chicano type of city, but it's a very nice city as well. I don't like going back home because there's nothing for me to go back home to because it's very dangerous. But for the most part, I'm kind of glad I got out of the ghetto over here trying to live my dream.
Yeah. Fresno, it sounds like a little bit of similarities.
Oh, definitely.
Hispanic population here too, on campus as well.
Is that? Well, that's another reason why I came over here too, because of the Hispanic community over here, and I knew there'd be a large sum of people, you know, riding the wave and riding the Hispanic wave, and I thought it was really cool. And there being a lot of Hispanic people over here as well.
Are you the first in your family on track to graduate from college?
Yes, I am the first of my family to ever graduate from college. And you know, my brother always told me he can't have me in this role without education, and he's kind of forced that on me. And it's kind of helped me grow up as well. So it's something that's it's nice, you know, to have an education, have it plastered on your wall when you have a house, and you know, you're over there with your kids, and your kids come, and you know, you're a Fresno State alum, and they want to go to the same school. So, you know, hopefully that happens later on in life. But for now, I'm just focused on basketball and getting that degree, which I'm really close to. And you know, I talked to my advisor today. You know, he said I'm on track to graduate. So that's the best feeling to ever hear that, and have all your classes set, and all you need to do is just pass them, and that's it.
Cool. What's your major?
Philosophy.
Talk about what drew you to that field.
Well, just, I mean, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, you know, just always questioning something. So it was just a little interesting to me. And the person that got me into it was, I would say, Braden Anderson. And he talked about it. And I was just like, what are you talking about? You know, like, they're like, oh, what's void? And, you know, it's just something that it's hard to understand. But you play around with, like, words and stuff like that. It's just something funny, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you probably have plans to pursue basketball after college.
Definitely.
You're probably going to have some opportunities there. Is that the goal for you right now?
Oh, definitely. That's first and foremost. I mean, I want to, whatever opportunity arises, I want to take advantage of it. And then I want to do what Coach Wainwright does, you know, help out kids from rural areas, you know, and help them achieve their dreams, and, you know, help them, you know, in the basketball area where, you know, I have a lot of knowledge in, and I have experience, so I would want to help people, little kids, you know, just reach their dreams. And, you know, just like Robitello helped me, Wainwright helped me, Coach Terry helped me, Coach Schwartz, everybody was right beside me, as well as my academic advisor. You know, I want to help people who are in need.
Talk about what ways they helped you, what challenges you faced, and how they helped you to overcome those.
Well, just the challenges, just academically, you know, I was very, you know, at first, when I first came here, all I cared about was basketball, and, you know, I thought basketball, you know, but basketball lasts forever, but it doesn't, you know. What lasts forever is your education, having that paper, that degree on your hand, and, you know, using it to your advantage. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I finally understood once I started getting older and they started telling me to mature and understand that basketball, you know, it's not just basketball. You need a degree. You need something to fall back on. And, you know, I'm kind of happy I finally understood. And even though it took me a year or two to understand, I finally understand. and now I understand the wealth that comes from having a degree and being able to, you know, just say a coaching job interview and say, look, I graduated from Fresno State. You know, Fresno State's a great school, you know, agriculturally, you know, it has a lot of Hispanics around, and, you know, it's great to be around, you know, it's a great city.
What do you think changed since you first got here that made you care more about the academics as well?
Well, just Mr. Robitello helped me a lot. My academic advisor, my Coach Terry, Coach Wainwright, Coach Schwartz, they've all helped me, you know, finally understand that education is a key piece, and especially for what I want to be further along in my life is become a coach and help out, like, you know, little kids and be in this stage as well and do what Coach Terry, Coach Wainwright, and all of them are doing is helping out kids to achieve their dreams. And hopefully I get to sit in, you know, in seats like these and on the sideline and help out kids to achieve their dream and help them win in life.
Have you met President Castro before?
I've met him once, and you know, he's a great guy to talk to, and you know, him being Hispanic, he followed me on Twitter, and it was pretty cool, you know, seeing. I think it was after the San Diego State game where I hit that last second shot to force it into overtime, and he said, "Holy Caesar," you know, and it was something great, you know, it was see your President Castro do something like that, and you know, he notices you and. He does a great job with the whole school and the whole community. You know, the time I have talked to him, he's only had positive things to say and said that he's really proud of me of making it out of where I made it up. And, you know, just keep on striving forward and be bold and, you know, just be a great student and a great student athlete.
Yeah, you mentioned be bold. I know one of his other big taglines is academics, athletics, rising together.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like, you know, it describes your story a little bit too. You think that's a good message for just students in general here at Fresno State?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, just him having so much care with academics as well as athletics. I mean, it's great. You know, it's great to have. And he's Hispanic, right? Yeah, he's Hispanic. So it's great to see somebody in the Hispanic world really have an impact on people's lives. And he's really trying to have an impact on everybody's life because, you know, it is a really diverse school. We have really, you know, we have a lot of races in this school, and it's not just one particular race, and it's great to have, you know, because you get to know certain people's stories, you get to know certain people's race, and I think they do a great job of it over here. They do a great job of, you know, putting academics first, always having meetings in, you know, the new South North Gym 118, you know, always having meetings, and Castro always being open to hearing what needs to happen in Fresno State to improve, and so he does a great job of it. And you know, I've gone to a couple of them, and I've been wanting to ask some questions, but hopefully I get to talk to him one-on-one to see if I can say some stuff, you know. But no, but for the most part, he's doing a great job here, as well as Jim Barco in the athletic department, the new AD, as well as Robitello. Those guys, you know, after every game, you know, they tell me, I'm proud of you, you know, and that's pretty, it's great to have, because they understand the difficult things that have happened in my life and the difficult things that I've had to go through, and just to see me overcome them and then be by my side, it's been a great experience.
If you're comfortable talking about it, what would you say is the biggest challenge you have overcome?
I think it was the academics. I think just me finally caring about academics was, you know, the part that was pretty tough for me, because it was just pure basketball embedded in my mind. And finally, just, you know, just really understanding that academics could take you a long way, and your body's gonna, you know, shrivel down and be an old man and walk in a cane, and your brain's always gonna, you know, if you keep it healthy, read books and do all that stuff, it's always gonna stay there. So that's just the best thing about it. And just finally, you know, having them tell me that, look, you know, academics go a long way, having that degree plastered on your wall goes a long way in life.
How did it feel last year when you had to sit out those games?
I felt like I let down a lot of people due to the fact that I let down my family, I let down my teammates and everybody. And it was a very difficult time to overcome, because I was away from the team. You know, like I had to do like about 16 study hall hours, and it was just, you know, really, really crazy. But luckily I overcame that, and I finally understood, you know, academics is something that I have to do to graduate, and you know, it's something that's helped me along the way.
So you said you met with your advisor today. Have you had a chance yet to tell your family, to tell your mom that you're on track to graduate? Or do they already know that? Or
Well, I told my brother right after I met with him. And he said that that's his holiday because me being the first person out of the family is something that, you know, everybody's been waiting for. Even though he's been successful in the area that he's been, you know, just being like a worker for the city, he's still, you know, he's happy that he didn't have to put me through college because it's really expensive, especially now with the cost of attendance and stuff like that. But luckily, I put myself in the position to have college paid for and, you know, use athletics as a forefront for me to get through in life and be a better man. And, you know, it's just something. My mom is a Spanish-speaking person, and I told her in Spanish, and she was just really, she was crying. With all the hard times that we've gone through, she's very excited, and very excited for tomorrow, for senior night tomorrow, and very excited for graduation.
Will
and
she be here for senior night?
Yes, she will. She'll be here for senior night, and that'll be a great day tomorrow.
What advice has she given you along the way?
My mom, she told me in Spanish, ponte las pilas. She said, put on the batteries, you know? She told me you better get the batteries going, because if not, then, you know, your batteries are going to be gone and you're going to be dead and something like that. You know, it's just a figure of speech and saying that, you know, you got to get things going because you're going to lose your opportunities. So that one's been one that runs through my mind a lot. And even through tough times, you know, I wanted to give up, but I just kept on hearing that. It's just like, turn on the batteries, man. You got to turn them on. You got to turn yourself on. And it's helped me along the way.
Dr. Castro himself, he's a first-generation graduate. I am too. I know there's like 70% of students at Fresno State.
I've seen the statistic.
Yeah, I mean, is that something you're proud of? To say you're part of the sort of that movement of younger people that are getting, you know, becoming the first in the family, changing their family trajectories, maybe.
Definitely, I feel really proud of it because I have nieces and nephews following in my footsteps. You know, they want to graduate, they want to go to college, and they want to experience what I experienced, and that's college. And you only get college once in a lifetime. You know, it's not like if you could experience it. I mean, you could experience it when you're older, but it's not the same. And it's not the same with the trials and tribulations and like, you know, going through the freshman 15, you know, going through that or going through the senioritis, you know, the when you're a senior, you're just like, oh man, I'm already gonna graduate, just let me cool down. Like, no, like, you know, then going through the little bumps and bruises through sophomore and junior year, you know, and it's just a fun experience, especially me coming here. It's been a great experience, and it's been one that I've gotten to learn from, and, you know, it's gonna help me further my experience in life and further my endeavors in life.
You're playing your last game here tomorrow, you know, unless there's a postseason game here or something like that. But your last time in this building might be at the graduation ceremony. Mm-hmm. You planning to go to that? Is your family planning to come?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They said that's a holiday for them. So I guess what's graduation, May 22nd? Something like that. It's towards the end of May, but I ain't missing that. I've came too far to miss that date. And you know, I have plans of walking right here on this side of the stage and you know, raising my hands and saying I did it.
For someone who's had a lot of thrills in this building, where is that gonna rank?
Number one, easily, because it's something that none of my family has done, you know, and I'm first generation of graduating and, you know, gaining experience that, I mean, education that I've finally understood is number one for me now. Basketball comes after because, I mean, you could only do so much with basketball, you know? I mean, playing-wise. Teaching people and having them, you know, follow your footsteps and all that, you know, you could help them a long way. But education and having your degree and everything is something that means a lot. And, you know, I'm happy, you know, May 22nd or whenever it is, to have that degree and, you know, hand it to my brother, my mom, and my sister and be like, look, I did it for you guys.
Do you know, after basketball, what you want to do with that degree. I think you mentioned working with young people in,
oh, yeah,
in
some way. Being a coach, helping young people fulfill their dream, especially, you know, Hispanic kids and, you know, African Americans, you know, Caucasian, any kids, you know, just fulfill their dream and, you know, on the basketball court. And I want to be a life teacher, you know, just like the coach that we have and Coach Wainwright, him going through so many stuff. He's helped me along the way too. And it's been special. It's been something that, you know, it's been a great ride. And I'm happy I get to end it here at Fresno State with all these great people.
You mentioned when you first came back, transferred back from Oklahoma State, you wanted to be there for your mom. How is she doing now? Is she doing well?
She's doing great. You know, we have eyes on her at all times, and you know everything's fine. And she's a great influence in my life, and I wouldn't be here without her.
Does she get out to a lot of games, or?
She tries to, but you know, she watches a lot of our games on TV, which is, you know, pretty big. And she always tries to kiss the screen, and she's like, "Did you feel that kiss?" I was like, "No, I didn't." But you know, I feel her spirit, and I feel her always with me.
Cool. Anything else you want to add about your experience here?
It's just great. Fresno State's great, and I love the school. I love everybody, and thank you for always supporting me. Thanks to all the coaches, all the, you know, everybody who supported me throughout my career here. Thank you for everything that you've done. And from here on out, I won't let you guys down.
That was Cesar Guerrero, now a former Fresno State men's basketball player after he just graduated this past weekend. Congratulations to Cesar and all the Fresno State student athletes who recently graduated. We also saw from the track and field team, Anna Marie Schwanz, who is originally from Germany. She earned the Distinguished International Student Award. A lot of Fresno State student athletes showing it really is important to be in the classroom as well as see it on the field. And we're seeing, you know, them back that up with what they're doing in the classroom. And we'll have an interview coming up with Anna Marie Schwanz in the coming weeks to share with you. But a lot of other stuff going on in Fresno State sports, too. The school's winding down now. We've got the bat and ball sports. Softball, unfortunately, we saw last weekend their season ended at the UCLA Regional.
Oh, I know.
They were the number two seed there. And I know, Kevin, you were expecting them to make quite a run.
I thought it was going to go a lot longer, and it's unfortunate that it didn't. I mean, they still had a great season. We're still behind them no matter what, but it would have been nice to see them go a lot longer than they did. Things happen, so I'm not sure exactly what happened.
42 wins this season. They had all kinds of marks. 23-game win streak, which is a Fresno State record. And Coach Trisha Ford has this team going in the right direction for sure. I think everyone's already looking forward to next year for the seniors that are leaving the program. You know, they left their mark. They got the program back in the top 25, and that's where you want to be. Set a lot of Mountain West records. You know, a lot of Fresno State's past success in softball was when they were in the WAC or even before that. But now being in the Mountain West, I think it's raised the level for the entire conference to have the Fresno State that people are used to over the years. And at the same time, baseball, they're still going strong. They're the number one seed in the Mountain West tournament. There's not a conference tournament for softball. They just go straight into NCAA regional play. Baseball's got a conference tournament. They're the number one seed. They won the outright regular season championship. So it's nice to see those guys getting some rings as well.
I know, no co-championship. We'll just take it all for ourselves. I can't wait to see what baseball does. I don't see a reason why that they would lose early, but you know, I don't want to jinx them or the baseball gods are listening to me or anything. So we'll just keep our hopes up and get behind them, and hopefully they get through late into the tournament.
Yeah, baseball's a tricky sport. I mean, even when you're in Little League, everyone's got their superstitions, their weird things they do.
I never used to step on the third base line when I was going out to the field, so that was my thing.
So that was your superstition growing up?
I wouldn't put on my glove. I'd tuck my glove under my left arm, and I'd run out, and I never touched the third base lines. I had my two things. Yeah, everyone has them in baseball for sure.
Yeah, I know people who, you know, they eat a certain kind of food before a game, they have a bad game, and then it's like, you know, oh, no more of
I'm
this
never
type
eating
of food.
That again.
Yeah. You know, before I play a game. And me personally, it was more of a jersey number thing where 14 was my lucky number. And so I remember one year our coach ordered the jerseys, and Babe Ruth, they forgot to order my number. They had some, you know, I was 14, and all they had was 13. That was the closest thing. And I'm like, oh man.
Oh, that's
my whole year's ruined.
It's
but
funny.
Yeah, we'll have to have some baseball guys on and talk about some of those
for sure.
Quirky superstitions. But going back to Fresno State, we got Mike Batesel, coach of the year in the Mountain West. Well-deserved honor for him. He was on the show earlier this year with us. Also on the All Mountain West teams, Fresno State made up, I think it was a third of the first team and the second team. Pretty impressive group. You had Brody Russell, who the Bulldogs lost to injury a couple weeks before the season ended, unfortunately, but he hit over 400 this year, about 415. I mean, he might have been player of the year if he stayed healthy there. You also had pitcher Ricky Tyler Thomas, who's only a sophomore. It's going to be exciting for Bulldog fans to know he's back next year. And another sophomore making first team, Aaron Aruda, one of the top power hitters on the team. So it should be a fun ride the rest of this season and on into next season.
It's we definitely have promise for next year. To have him as sophomores only is a good outlook for, you know, us looking ahead the next couple of years. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and in college baseball, that's always kind of what you look at is you want the sophomores returning who are accomplished, because in baseball, a lot of guys do leave after their junior seasons to go to the major league draft. Sometimes mm-hmm. you get those seniors who stay around, like a Brody Russell, and he has just a monster year. Or like, Tim Borst, pitcher who made second team all conference honors. Joining him on the second team from the Bulldogs was pitcher Ricky Ramirez, another sophomore, and a couple of juniors in infielder Scott Silva and outfielder Jake Stone. So it's shaping up to be, you know, you've got some experienced guys, you've got some young guys. It's kind of the balance you want with a team. Definitely got the pitching where I think in a regional play, in a tournament play, Fresno State's going to be a force to reckon with, because day after day, you're throwing out some pitchers with, you know, just some shutdown numbers.
I got a good feeling about these NCAAs coming up, so hopefully I'm right.
And then again, for all the fans out there, you can listen, you can watch the action, follow the action on the Mountain West Network, gobulldogs.com/videos all weekend long, and hopefully the Bulldogs will be playing all the way through. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks again to our guests, Fresno State wrestling coach Troy Steiner, former wrestling coach Dennis DeLito, and Fresno State basketball Cesar Guerrero. Thanks to my co-host, Fresno State's Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, and Sports Report producer, Kevin Kirsten. We appreciate you joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.